This is Flick on Flicks with Jacob Clark Blickenstaff. Brought to you by NSTA, the National Science Teaching Association. Today's episode, Ad Astra per Aspera.
I do what I do because of my dad.
He gave his life for the pursuit of knowledge.
Please, state your mission objective.
I am attempting to stop an uncontrolled antimatter reaction, which threatens our entire solar system.
We're approaching Mars.
Spacecom believes my father's responsible.
I was excited about a new hard science fiction movie coming out after all the Marvel Cinematic Universe and other fanciful space movies I've been seeing recently. Ad Astra portrays a possible near future with commercial rockets to the moon and a permanent inhabited base on Mars. The story centers around Roy McBride, played by Brad Pitt, and his trip to Neptune to try to find his father, Clifford McBride, played by Tommy Lee Jones. Clifford's been missing for nearly 30 years. Roy is an experienced astronaut, known for his famous father and remaining calm even in extreme situations. The opening scene establishes this when a mysterious power surge causes an accident on the International Space Antenna. The antenna appears to reach from Earth all the way to low Earth orbit. Roy falls off the structure, but his parachute saves him, and he lands back on the ground with his heart rate only slightly elevated. We later learn that the power surge was caused by a cosmic ray burst from Neptune, which scientists think can be attributed to the matter-antimatter reactor that powered the LIMA project, Clifford McBride's mission to seek intelligent life outside our solar system. Roy takes on a secret mission to find out what is happening at Neptune and prevent a runaway matter-antimatter reaction that could destroy the whole solar system. Roy travels on a commercial rocket from the Earth to the Moon, then a military rocket from the Moon to the Mars base. Getting from Mars to Neptune will depend on Roy's ability to communicate with his father from the Mars base. There's a lot of cool science to unpack in Ad Astra, from cosmic rays and radiation to the scale of the solar system. Back in middle school, I worked on an independent project to build a scale model of our solar system. When I started doing the math, I quickly realized that the scale for the planets and the scale for the distance between them could not be the same. Either the planets would be invisibly small, or the spaces between them would be much too large to fit on my school campus. I ended up with a scale where the Earth was a glass marble, Saturn was beach ball sized, and on a different scale, the whole solar system would fit in the gym. Teachers could use Ad Astra along with a solar system scaling project to check if the relative travel times in the film make sense. Now, it's a bit hard to tell how long the Earth-Moon journey lasts, but it looks like a long airplane trip, given that there's no sleeping quarters and the hot towel is presented at the end of the journey. Students could calculate how fast the rocket would have to go to cover the Earth-Moon distance in 12 hours, for example. And note, the Apollo missions took 3 days to reach the Moon. Roy's trip from the Moon to Mars seems to be 6 weeks long, even with a detour to investigate a distress call. And I'll talk about that more in a little bit. Finally, the journey from Mars to Neptune is 79 days long. I'm going to really oversimplify how real spacecraft get from one place to another in our solar system, and suggest here that the travel time should be proportional to the distance traveled. Now, in reality, to save fuel, we use the gravity of the Sun and inner planets to speed up our spacecraft, so they don't take a direct route from the Earth to their final destination. Using round numbers and averages, the distance from Mars to Neptune is about 20 times longer than the distance from the Earth to Mars. It seems likely, therefore, that it would take Roy a lot more than double the time shown in the movie to make that final leg of his journey. Now, the reason the LIMA project needs to be investigated is that large cosmic ray bursts are coming from Neptune, likely caused by the matter-antimatter reactor. Energy bursts like this are a real threat to our astronauts on the International Space Station, but those come from solar storms or solar flares on the Sun. Solar storms can release high-energy charged particles, that's radiation, that would harm people on the ISS. NASA constantly monitors solar activity so that if a dangerous flare occurs, astronauts can shelter in the station's most resistant area. Extravehicular activities can be canceled or rescheduled if solar activity is higher than normal. For long trips in space, astronauts will have to be protected from both acute events like solar flares and the constant background radiation present in deep space. NASA has shared a video about preparing for a future Mars mission, which is linked to in the online version of this podcast. A 3-year-long mission to Mars is about 1/10 of the duration of Clifford McBride's time near Neptune. Unless his spacecraft is very well shielded, he would likely have significant health effects from all that radiation. For teachers interested in the whole lesson about space radiation, check out the high school level lesson available from Microsoft Education and NASA in the link on the online version of this podcast. Finally, let me talk about some basic physics. Though overall Ad Astra does a nice job of depicting space travel in a realistic light, there are two scenes I need to briefly touch on. On the trip from the Moon to Mars, Roy's ship receives a distress call and stops to investigate. While that may seem trivial, a rocket moves very fast and has limited fuel supply. Stopping takes just as much energy as getting started does, and after they stop, they have to speed up again. By pausing in the trip, they have at least doubled the amount of fuel they would need for the journey, and that would only work if they have an essentially infinite energy supply. Near the end of the movie, Roy has to coast through the rings of Neptune. It really does have rings, so that's cool. In just a spacesuit. We see dozens of small rocks bounce off a shield he's carrying, and the shield ends up battered and dented, but Roy does not slow down. Each of those collisions should have slowed him a bit and changed his trajectory. The total effect should have been to bring him to a stop somewhere well off course. Ad Astra is certainly a good way to start a conversation about the scale of the solar system and could connect to NASA's plans for Mars mission in coming decades. There is some questionable physics, but overall the film presents a realistic vision for future space travel. Ad Astra is rated PG-13 for some violent and bloody images and for brief, strong language.
For more of Dr. Blickenstaff's reviews, go to the NSTA website, www.nsta.org, and search for Blick on Flicks.